Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When 5-year-old Timmy started school, his mother insisted that she should walk him to school every day. But shortly, the other children began to give him a bad time because he was not able to walk alone. Still concerned, his mother acknowledged his need to be independent, and so she asked her neighbor, Mrs. Goodnest, if she would secretly follow Timmy to school every day to keep an eye on him. And so each day, Mrs. Goodnest and her daughter Marcy would walk some distance behind Timmy, keeping an eye on him. Well, pretty quickly, Timmy's little friends began to realize that somebody was following him, and they wanted to know who this person was and why they were following. Timmy looked at them and explained, "Well, every night my mother makes me say prayers, and she makes me recite the 23rd Psalm. And the last line of that 23rd Psalm says, 'Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.' I guess I will just have to get used to it." Today is, in fact, Good Shepherd Sunday. It's Good Shepherd Sunday like the first Sunday in Easter is the resurrection, and the second Sunday we hear the story of doubting Thomas, and now the fourth Sunday we hear of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Since that's the text every fourth Sunday in Easter, many of you have heard this text before, maybe a lot of times, perhaps dozens of times. And most of those times, the pastor would make a comparison between Jesus as the Good Shepherd and we as sheep. And that's actually a good and a reasonable comparison because we are indeed a lot like sheep. Sheep are not very good at seeing. They tend not to look very far or be able to see very far away from them. They're not exactly blind, but they're blind to some things. Sheep are easily spooked. My grandfather used to take great joy in driving down the road, and when we came past a herd of sheep, he would start tapping the horn, and pretty soon one sheep would look up, and another sheep would look up, and one sheep would start to run, and within a few seconds, all of the sheep were running, only because somebody had tooted a horn. Not because there was really anything to be afraid of. And sheep can be stubborn, too. Now, I'm not a shepherd, I don't know, but I'm told that sheep tend to be stubborn and want to do things their own way. And sheep are also prone to just kind of wander off and not pay attention to where all of the other sheep are, and pretty quickly find themselves being lost and alone and not near the shepherd. So as I looked at the text for today, I was looking for something that I could preach on. So I thought, well, I wonder how many shepherds there are in the United States. And so I went to the internet and I did a search for shepherds, and I found out that there are German shepherd dogs all over America. There was no mention even at all of shepherds like we are speaking of today in the several pages of the search. So I never did find an answer to that question. But it seems that sheep herding and sheep raising has gone a full circle over the last 150 years or so. In the 1800s, there were about 7 million head of sheep in the country. In 1945, the number of sheep in the country peaked at about 56 million. And now, in the 21st century, we are back down to only about 7 million head of sheep in this country. And I came across a map that shows where most of those sheep are. And in fact, most of those sheep are right here in the Willamette Valley. So when you're driving down the road and you come to a herd of sheep, is there a sheep herder there? No. Sometimes there's a dog, I've seen those. Sometimes there's a llama out there or a goat to lead the sheep. But there are no sheep herders. So I wondered, what is it that I might say that you haven't heard before some number of times? What approach might I take that will impact your life this coming week? What is it that you need to hear? As I continued that idea that I talked about of remembering in the Easter Sunday sermon, I thought, what do I want these people to remember? Remember, we heard when Mary and the other women went to the grave, it was empty. And the angel told them, don't you remember that Jesus told you he was going to rise again? And they remembered that. Well, what is it that we can remember from this text that we have today? As I read the 23rd Psalm, I recognize that that's something many of you have probably memorized. It's a just short 6 verses long. It's read at almost every funeral that you go to. We refer to that psalm when we have difficult times. Those words tend to bring us comfort. And so I wonder, when we think about those, do we really understand what it's saying to us? So what I'd like to do is go through the 23rd Psalm sort of verse by verse, phrase by phrase, and see if we can understand why a psalm that was written 3,000 years ago might still apply to us today and why it might have so much meaning. So looking at the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. This is a metaphor that Jesus or that God uses, a sheepherder talking to people of ancient times. During those times, kings were referred to as shepherds because they were the ones who took care of their people, their flock, if you will. In this psalm, David acknowledges that his king is the Lord. He's speaking of Yahweh, the triune God that we follow today, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And today we acknowledge that that triune God is our God when we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's a relatively new version of the Bible called The Message. It's a more current translation. It's just interesting to read sometimes because of its simplicity. Here's how The Message, the author of The Message, interprets that first statement, I shall not want. He says, O God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. God cares for every human need that we have, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional. God cares and provides for that. Provides. God provides for us. That's one of the things that this psalm tells us. But you might be saying, well, wait a minute. I don't have everything I want. How come? I want to have a more comfortable retirement. I want to have a bigger and newer house or a bigger and better car. I want to take time to travel around the world. That takes a lot of money. I don't have that. There's probably other things on the list that you could think of that you might want to have. Well, there's a difference between want and need. A friend of mine frequently reminds people that he talks to of that difference, that there's a list of wants that we have and a list of needs that we have. God provides for our needs, but not necessarily gives us everything that we want. If you don't have it, maybe God thinks you don't need it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We're continuing that shepherd and sheep metaphor. What is it that sheep need? Sheep need food. They need a place to rest. That's good pastures. They need water to drink. And they need still water from which to drink. God provides them with food. God provides us with food. God provides us with a shelter. It may not be the mansion that you'd like to have, or maybe the mansion that you think you deserve, but it's what God thinks you need. He restores my soul. At the fall, we were separated from God. And now God is in the process of bringing us back together, of restoring that relationship, of restoring our soul, of providing a destination for us and a restoration of our soul with Him in heaven. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Shepherds never led their sheep where there would be danger. They had to be careful the kind of mountain passes they went through, because that shepherd didn't want to have the reputation of losing lots of sheep out there by leading them into danger. And God doesn't want us to be lost either, and so He leads us along paths of righteousness, paths that are leading us in the direction of our basic morals and our basic lives. He provides a path of righteousness that ultimately leads us to heaven. He does this to preserve His reputation, to prove His reputation in His revealed character in the Bible. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. That sounds like protection. Even in difficult times, we need not be afraid because God is there with us. Everybody faces valleys and difficult times in our lives. We lose a job, or our kids lose a job, and we face, or they face, financial difficulty. We may be injured in an accident or have a medical problem that requires hospitalization and or surgery. We pass through difficult times when others that we love pass away before us. This psalm reminds us that God is there and with us through every valley that we traverse. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod referred to here, some would say, is the Ten Commandments. It's what God tells us how to deal with Him and how to deal with each other. But those Ten Commandments also protect us. In Sunday school, we learned that God wrote the Ten Commandments on people's hearts. And so people have a conscience about things that they shouldn't do, and consequently understand that killing each other is not a good thing. And so society does not want us to kill each other. And we're comforted by that staff. That staff has the crook on it. That was the crook that the shepherd used when a sheep got into trouble and maybe out of reach, and he could reach out with that staff. Jesus reaches out to us when we get in a difficult place and brings us back. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now the metaphor changes from a shepherd to a host. Hospitality in biblical times was very important. The host always served and cared for his guests. God is a good host. He cares for us. He serves us. Not necessarily in a mansion or behind a great wall that would protect us from a world, but this psalm says He does so in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of those things that we fear the most. That's where God sets us down and prepares us a meal. The implication here is that we don't have to fear anything, that those enemies, the things that we do fear, are powerless to prevent us from enjoying God's generosity. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In ancient times, guests were anointed with a perfumed oil that was intended to refresh and renew them from their journey, to invigorate them after the fatigue of that long trip. A host gave his friends and his guests things to drink and food to eat. He protected them from their enemies. And all of these blessings, the psalmist says, we have a cup, a condition of our life that is just overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of God's provision and protection, we are assured of God's goodness and mercy for all of our lives. And when we die, we are assured that we will live in God's house in heaven forever. God provides for his sheep and gives us the greatest gift of all. Jesus gave his life so that we might be saved and spend that eternity with him in heaven. Our shepherd today assures us that we, in fact, belong to him. He protects and provides us each and every day of our lives. He even knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's how much he cares for you. So let me close with this short poem to remind you of what this poem says to us so that you remember. I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am, for my shepherd gently guides me, knows my need and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Amen. Now may God's peace and the peace that we have, knowing that God provides and protects us and is always present with us, keep you in your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.